listening to WOHM Charleston, 96.3 Ohm Radio. This is Small Talk, Big Ideas. I'm your host, Kurt Cavanaugh, and I am the executive director of Charleston Moves. Charleston Moves is a bike and pedestrian advocacy group working for saner, safer streets in Charleston County for walking and riding your bike. My guest today is our new membership and outreach coordinator, Savannah Brennan. Savannah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We've been with us for, what, 2 or 3 weeks now?
2 weeks.
And I kind of wanted to interview you today and get your, initial thoughts on working in the movement. So what initially interested you in biking, walking, or safer streets?
I've lived in Charleston since I was 9. I went to college at Charleston and started my own nonprofit a few years ago. So kind of committed to living in Charleston for the foreseeable future. And I've always been a biker and a walker living downtown. And I think I've been somebody who's naturally been comfortable on a bike and then kind of realized how little infrastructure we have here and kind of had a realization about why people don't feel comfortable biking or walking. And so the mission of Charleston Moves really hit home. And also just that it's a nonprofit and I feel like there was some real change that we could make here.
We snagged you from the nonprofit world / business world as well. Mm-hmm. You were in a small publishing house for years, but it seemed like your passion was elsewhere. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the nonprofit that I started, Girls Rock Charleston, was built out of a necessity for offering support for girls and trans kids in the area who don't have support. And it was kind of founded on a music education foundation. But that sort of sparked this interest in doing work that felt really important to me and work that I felt was lacking in our area for a certain group of people. So I think doing that work since 2011 was a great way for me to sort of understand nonprofit operation, figure out how I wanted to fit into it, what I naturally liked doing, what I kind of ended up doing that I didn't like so much, and then sort of try to fine tune those skills and then apply them in a different area. So I was hoping that what felt like a very unique experience to me would be relatable to Charleston Moves in a creative way.
Well, we're excited to have you, of course. And just a couple weeks in, you've, added some energy to the office, being our second employee behind me as the first employee. I've been there for a year and 4 months, and you joined us a couple weeks ago. Sorry. And you sort of recently doubled down on Charleston.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that fun process? You don't need to tell us that your address or anything, but.
Yeah. So being somebody who lived in Charleston for a number of years, when I decided that I was going to go to college here, I immediately was like, I'm moving. I've had enough. I need to see other stuff. Charleston felt really small at the time and not progressive enough. And so I got out of college and was still doing Girls Rock, and that was really what founded me here for a little longer than I was anticipating. I think I was feeling a little bit of a lack of, what am I going to do? I feel like I need to do nonprofit work, and Girls Rock was all volunteer-based. And so I unexpectedly fell into house hunting. And bought a house, and then I guess I was like, well, guess that means I'm staying. So now I'm over in Wagner Terrace, which is amazing, and very easy bike ride to the office. But it feels good. It feels really good to commit to a place that I feel really passionate about improving and feel like I have some good connections here that I can really, kind of transform the work. So
yeah, it seems as if, Peninsula real estate is almost religion here now. So I kind of fall into that too. Sometimes I find myself looking at ads online, like,
it's hard
surprising
not to.
Myself.
Yeah.
But you've been, like I said, with us for a couple of weeks. What do you see initially as major challenges to what we're trying to do and also the opportunities that you see out there?
I think it's funny, before I started this job 2 whole weeks ago, I would have said that I think visibility is the biggest thing for us. Visibility and accessibility. Just being somebody who's walked around Charleston for a number of years, I didn't see a lot of even simple like posters for Charleston Moves. And so just having that sort of recognition and just kind of in your face, I felt like was something that we could really do easily. But I think now my answer would be kind of the politics side of it and implementation. I know that we have a ton of data and a ton of really just amazing plans in the works, that the biggest challenge at this rate seems being able to make it happen. And playing with the city officials, the public officials, and that's something that I'm looking to you a lot to do.
Yeah, sure. I too acknowledge that it's a stolen term that I use now from my friend David. Our paper to pavement ratio is pathetic.
Right.
And as we have tons of great plans, but we have very few things to show for it on the street. So this idea that walking and biking is not real transportation is that time has come and gone. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, getting past that first inert step seems to be the tough part, and we're trying to push that right now.
Yeah.
So, but thanks for being a good sport today and, you know, 12 hours notice that I wanted to interview you on radio. And I wanted to give you time to ask me questions as well and have a discussion on air. So if you have some things, I see your sticky note cheat sheet
Post-its.
Over there.
I have a couple.
You have two? Wow, you have two.
I have three.
Three. She has three.
Means I'm super
note.
Prepared. this is an easy one. What is your morning office ritual, Kurt?
My morning office ritual?
Yeah.
Two things. I usually start, I should say Ohm Radio, but I do not. I usually start KEXP Seattle. Been a paid member for a long time. Love their morning show. And then I walk out our door next door to Low Country Local First and snag coffee from their office, their co-working space. I don't do that every morning. When I have either don't have beans at home or I've been kind of too lazy to make my own, I'll pop next door.
Mm-hmm.
So
Or wait till the afternoon.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. what is the number one priority for you right now, and how does that reflect Charleston Moves' goals?
How does that reflect our goals? Mm-hmm. The number one priority is Liguori Bridge Bike and Pedestrian Lane.
Mm-hmm.
That facility was approved by City Council in February of 2014,
mm-hmm.
and with a timeline of 18 months start to finish. Well, that was 20 months ago,
yeah.
and we haven't broken ground. Again, goes back to the paper to pavement ratio is pathetic. That project will show, it'll basically have an explosive effect on biking and walking in Charleston. Currently, people are walking and biking downtown. That's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Some hardy souls do go across the bridge from West Ashley or from James Island, John's Island, but there is simply no safe way to walk or bike across the Ashley River, and that's unacceptable for an alleged world-class city.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our number one priority right now. Number two, right behind that, is the what we call the People Pedal Plan, which is the downtown bike plan, but that's assuming the crossing is in place, because we're actually going as far west as Avondale and Old Windermere as part of that plan, and mm-hmm. then the peninsula. So we know that without Liguori Bridge bike lane and pedestrian lane, that our work will be very limited and downtown focused, and we won't be able to get to West Ashley, and that's not acceptable.
Right.
In terms of your second part of that question, how does it reflect our values? Where Charleston Moves is not just about downtown walking and biking, but the whole county of Charleston. But we are starting close in. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing peninsula and close in. That includes West Ashley. So that reflects our values, and that we're not just staying on peninsula.
Right. Let's see what else. What is it that gives you hope that our city can be better, or our county?
We have some leadership at City Hall, and I don't mean electeds. I mean the staff level is pretty on board, mm-hmm. and the expertise level there is quite high. It seems even rhetorically that everyone wants to do the right thing for walking and biking. We're starting to see that as a real option,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's partly due to the fact that traffic is increasing, so people are looking for different options. Also, I'm 33. Those who are younger than me and my age are walking and biking. We don't want our parents' life.
Right.
We don't want to be stuck in the car. we don't want to kvetch about our commutes because that's a boring thing to talk about every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love kind of like what Andres Duany said. He's a world-renowned architect and landscape architect from Miami, and he came here last year, and I just absolutely loved that he finally said it. He said, stop worrying about congestion. It's below your intellect. And I couldn't agree more.
So true, yeah.
So I have a lot of hope that we're starting to look beyond just the car commute as mm-hmm. as an option, be it mass transit, walking or riding a bike.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's all at this point just hot air. But if we're serious about being competitive and being a world-class city, then we need to start actually putting things in place.
Yeah.
And investing in it financially.
Yeah.
And infrastructurally, but.
Yeah. Great. Do we have time for another question? Okay. What are the easiest ways to improve infrastructure for bike ped safety and accessibility?
It's easy. Simply, it can be as simple as paint.
Mm-hmm.
It can be as simple as demarcating space on your right-of-way or on your street with paint, epoxy gravel, plastic bollards. And that's what I love about the People Pedal plan / downtown bike plan is that these are things that can be done right now without moving curbs, storm gutters,
right.
You know, capital expenses. It's just adding paint to streets. It's people always say, well, there's no room for bike lanes on that street. Sure, there's not room now if you look at it at the way it's painted.
Right.
But the lane you're driving in is 14 feet wide when it easily could be 10 feet wide, therefore leaving 4 feet for a striped bike lane. But we don't think that way yet here. And we have to get past the, we can't do that, and just do a couple projects, really simple mm-hmm. ones.
Yeah.
And then I think the dominoes will start to fall from there. So usually it's just paint, epoxy gravel, signage, even signal tweaks. And I'll actually talk about a few things tonight at Pechacucha about easy ways to make our streets much safer for walking and riding a bike. And they're simple as no right turn on red at very people-heavy intersections. You shouldn't be able to take a right on red at King and Calhoun. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop, you know, and let the light turn green and yield to pedestrians. And we always hear as well, oh, those dang college kids, they just walk all over the place however they want to against the light at St. Philip and Calhoun.
On their own campus.
No kidding. It's their campus. And instead of just complaining about it and making and perpetuating a dangerous situation, let's make that dangerous situation safe by planning in a creative and smart fashion. Make a diagonal crossing legal.
Yeah.
That does necessitate all, you know, a four-way red, but four-way red for 30 seconds trumps, you know, perhaps collision with a car and a student. So we need to get past this. Like, oh, dang it. Why do they do that? Let's plan proactively instead of reactively.
Right.
So.
Well, those were the bulk of my most interesting questions.
ask me the non-interesting ones.
Okay, all right.
Favorite color is not blue.
What's your favorite color?
I have no idea.
What?
I'm not 11. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I think it's green, I guess.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay.
It's a good color. What is our biggest challenge, and what's your plan to overcome it?
What's our biggest challenge?
Mm-hmm.
As Charleston moves, or as mm-hmm. human beings?
I was thinking Charleston moves, but maybe human beings is better.
Man, Charleston moves. I guess every nonprofit has challenges with fundraising. We all do.
Right.
So that's just an ongoing challenge for us. Another challenge for Charleston moves, we're a small staff.
Mm-hmm.
There's you and me, you mm-hmm. know, and a pretty active board, but you and I can't really lean on board members as, you know, unpaid staff.
Right.
So capacity, those are always questions. Those are always challenges. I think you said earlier, some of our communications could be clearer or more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your world, not mine. I'm the policy nerd. I brought you in as the... Kind of, you know, your title is membership and outreach coordinator, but as you probably figured out by now, it's everything.
Trifold creator. And
yeah, yeah. End of year mailing campaign creator. Uh-huh. Yeah, so you're kind of a one. Yeah, you're doing everything. You're my You're my do everything person. I'll be the policy person. That's fine. So fundraising capacity, and then what do you think? What do you think are the big challenges out there for humankind?
Compassion. I feel like people aren't very compassionate to each other, and that directly affects our work.
Interesting. There's a lot of talk right now. I read a lot of transportation stuff and forward you links at like 10 o'clock at night. Like, this is interesting, right? And I'm sure you love that. There's a lot of talk right now about the self-driving car and that it's coming. And it is. It's going to be the driverless car with, you know, a little Google bot. And it's going to be cute and everything. But really interestingly, there was an awesome piece in the San Francisco Chronicle about a Google car in San Francisco, test driving around with the engineer. And there was a, the cars drive so defensively. Unlike today's everyday motorist, in as much as that, there was a guy on a fixie bike doing a track stand at a stoplight, and they were both stopping and starting, and they neither person went through, neither the car nor the cyclist went through the light, because they're both being so yield heavy to each other.
That's amazing.
And the Google engineer was typing frantically, like, what? I don't know how to deal with this. This person's moving half an inch and then stopping, and then half an inch and then stopping. So it's the opposite of the everyday motorist would not be nearly as compassionate for the fixie track stand rider. Mm-hmm. So you just hit a home run with that answer. Wasn't ready for that one. It's like 9:30 in the morning. You had coffee? You have coffee right
I've
in front
had
of
one
you.
Sip.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, yeah, what do you see as challenges for Charleston Moves 12 days into your job?
I to sort of not answer your question yet, I'm looking forward to sitting down and sort of laying out a strategic plan for 2016. And that's probably where the challenges will come. I think we're still grappling with all the things that we could do, because there's so many things that we could do, which is really exciting and really great. But like you said, we're only two people and have limited capacity with that regard. So I think we have some amazing work that is already in the works and that we're sort of planning on for 2016. But just being able to sort of fine tune those and make sure that everything relates to what we're actually working towards and in the most effective way, I think, is sort of an overarching challenge. And then also to speak to what you said, fundraising is always difficult. Charleston has so many fundraisers all the time. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing all the things. And
doing
I think
all
it's
the things.
All the things all the time. So it's hard to kind of get that hook and make what you're trying to do really unique and special and reach a wide audience. And that's the other thing, speaking of wide audiences, is making sure that we're hearing voices that are outside of our immediate community. People that are outside of Charleston, people that aren't in Wagner Terrace, people who aren't white and wealthy. And I think we can't do our work effectively and holistically if we're only having a select group of people contributing. So I think that's a big challenge, and one that we're going to have to put our heads together to work on, I think.
And other people's heads together.
Yes,
I mean, there's a, and rightfully so, there's a huge equity push in the bike pedestrian advocacy world, and it's well overdue.
Yeah.
For a long time in our world, probably until maybe today, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, bike advocacy was middle-aged men in Lycra with $2,000 to $4,000 road bikes.
Right.
And, you know, that was bicycle advocacy as opposed to the everyday person using a bike for transportation.
Right.
Or
right.
fun, but transportation. And thankfully that the movement has matured and grown past very fringy, you know, wear your bike helmet and gear to City Hall and raise your bike over your head.
Yeah.
That was wildly ineffective and did nothing for the movement except
right.
for make people really, really mad. And when you have a pace line of 30 roadies and they're taking the road, well, that's one thing. But when you have people just trying to get to work and you're just trying to do it safely and get back home safely, that's what I see as the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And my idea of success for Charles Moves, but also as a city, is people have an option and a choice to walk or bike safely for transportation or mass transit. That's not our mission, but that should be that. Those are baseline things for cities.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we always win these best in the world awards. I just don't see it, to be totally frank, on air in the city that I live in. I guess maybe Condé Nast Traveler readers don't walk or ride a bike. So, you know, it's probably a great city for coming in for a weekend and taking off, but we live here.
Right.
And we all should have that, you know, have safe streets. We have pretty unsafe streets. But we need to get, you know, beyond just, let's make Wagner Terrace a great place to walk and bike, mm-hmm. or let's make South Abroad a great place to walk or bike and make it the whole region. And not everyone can afford to even operate a vehicle.
Right.
And that, yeah, that shouldn't be a hindrance to their ability to get to or from work or school or opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What other questions do you have for me?
I asked you all of them.
All
oh,
of-
well, this one, I don't like this one.
Go for it.
All right.
We can strike it if it needs
What excites you most about the work? Kind of a boring question.
That's a great question.
Okay.
What excites me most about the work?
Yeah.
The challenge of the whole challenge of what we're trying to do. I struggle daily with do I keep pushing for this? This is very selfish of me. Do I keep pushing for this and working on this, or do I just move back to Brooklyn where this is already done?
Right.
I think a lot of people have that,
yeah,
in their head, especially those who are younger and maybe more mobile. And aren't, you know, don't have a family here, don't own a property or whatnot, and have those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get this bridge lane, that sends a very clear message that we're not serious about walking or biking. And, if we're going to allegedly keep growing and attract, every city that's worth its salt is trying to attract young, educated people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that Portland and Brooklyn and DC are kicking our butt in some ways. It's because they've already gotten these things done.
Yeah.
We're not as big as them, but we lack a lot of amenities that that we shouldn't. We have terrible transit, and it's taking your life in your hands to ride your bike to the office. And I'm happy to do that because I refuse to get in a car every day, but that's going to be a big thing. If that gets killed for any reason, I think we're going to have major brain drain.
Yeah.
And I can't blame anyone for leaving for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah,
that's what excites me and also what terrifies me,
mm-hmm,
about this work.
Yeah.
Is, are we a city that's going to get it, or are we a city that's not going to get it? And I think we're in that pivot, that very, ripe time of do we get it or don't get it, and we're ready at that point to make the decision.
Yeah, make it.
So when I hear mayoral candidates saying finish 526, that's a massive statement of I don't get it, because that's going to be a sprawl bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have one thing though: if we do build that, we'll be the last city in the country to build an interstate in its city limits. Most cities are tearing them down. We'll keep building them.
We win.
Yeah, if you didn't notice, it flooded a bit this weekend too.
I saw a little bit of that.
So maybe it's maybe we shouldn't build infrastructure in places that could take on some of our floodwaters, such, mm-hmm, as, you know, low-lying areas,
mm-hmm,
that aren't built up for reasons like that. But anyway, I digress. but it excites me and terrifies me that the city may or may not make the what I think are the decisions they need to make.
Yeah.
To grow in the way they profess to want to.
Yeah.
So.
Good answer.
You know, are you excited about our CSA beginning Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really thrilled. I'm a little nervous that Babs told us that the food is going to have a very low shelf life,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be sopping wet, pretty mm-hmm. much, inside and out. So I'm going to have to eat everything on Friday.
Yeah. So yeah. I talked Savannah into joining the Ambrose Farm CSA with me. And interesting timing, yeah. But I'll happily support them, even though they, you know, they need our support now more than ever.
Yeah.
After the flood of last weekend, the rains and all that. Yeah, it was a scary email from the farm, but understandable as well.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to support them, and if I get some good food out of it, that's great.
I have another question for you.
Okay.
What book are you reading right now?
You're setting me up. You know what I'm reading.
I know one of the things you're reading, but I don't know if you're reading things outside of that.
I'm reading Smart Streets by Sam Schwartz.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yeah. Brought to me by Kurt. And I just finished a book called Soil, which is good. And I have started a book called Manual for Cleaning Women.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently this woman, she has passed away, and this book just, like, came to light. And it's a series of short stories, which I'm a big fan of. So, hey, you can borrow it when I'm done if you want.
Okay.
I
did slide Sam Schwartz's new book to Savannah after I flew through it in 3 days and nerded out. And Sam Schwartz is a traffic engineer. Who runs a consulting firm in New York, and but he was a former traffic and transportation commissioner in New York City in the 80s, and fought the good fight back then. He was pretty influential person up there, and continues to be. And some of his stories were hilarious, and it had a lot of non-planner it had a lot of stuff that wasn't too wonky, mm-hmm. I thought, but. Do you think it's too wonky?
At first, it was a little hard to get through. I think it's really funny when he kind of like pats himself on the back in a really overt way over and over. I'm like, Sam, you have no humility. but it is for amazing stuff, so I get it. But no, it's getting into a part that is really fascinating, so I'm enjoying it.
Good.
Yeah.
You don't have to lie. You can say, I can't stand it.
No, I am.
Throw
it's good.
Back to the... I bought it it's for the office library, which is slowly growing.
I have like 3 or 4 books now.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe we'll buy Walkable City next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've talked it up. I'm,
it's also awesome and wonky. Yeah. It's a lot of acronyms and grad school stuff.
Perfect.
Yeah. So what's your morning office ritual?
I get into the office. I have to immediately wash my hands. I don't know why. I don't like touching things after I've been riding a bike. Is that a bad thing to say?
Huh.
Okay. So I wash my hands. I get some water in a large mason jar. I'm usually like, Kurt, there's no music on yet. Are you okay?
I have that going on. I'm already digging in, and I have MacBook face.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's all I have for you this week.
Yeah.
And you have your sticky notes folded, so it looks like your checklist is
done.
Over.
I'm done.
no more. Okay. Well, that is that's what I have for this week's edition of Small Talk, Big Ideas. And next time, I'd like to either have Savannah come in and interview a daily bike commuter, or maybe I will do it, or both of us will do it. But I'd like to get someone who rides their bike to work or school on a daily basis, both downtown. I'd like someone from not downtown as well to speak about that experience. Maybe they may be the same, maybe wildly different. So that should be an interesting discussion. And I don't want it to be a kind of a complaining session, but I don't think a lot of people know what it's like to be on a bike every day for your transportation option. So. Yeah. So thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you.